Today on Real Radio.
The workings of the Spirit of God in your life with a gift, God will take, not a talent of yours. He will take you and deposit upon you a supernatural gift. Well, how do you know? Because it could never have come out of you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In the early chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul had to deal with a variety of spiritual and social problems. But now in chapter 12, he starts to sort of move on, so to speak, to the more weightier matters. In order to succeed as a body of believers, it's not the work of the people as much as it is the work of God's Holy Spirit in and through those people. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called What Makes a Church Relevant?
Can you pray that prayer? Lord, make me willing to be willing. Lord, I don't think I'm open to you, but make me open to you. And God will do that. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, down to verse 13, the Bible says, and he, that's the Holy Spirit, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints. Here's the reason why there are spiritual gifts. For the equipping of the saints. So imagine all the armaments. As you motor about in your fellowship of Christians in your life and you flow in and out of church, you're being equipped as saints for the work of the ministry. It goes on for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's a term, body of Christ. The church, for the building up of the church. The church would be vibrant. The church would be relevant. Verse 13, why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, that is complete, mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's why we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives in this church. Now watch me. In this group, let's just pick this group right here. See this group right here? There's more than 200 people in this group right here. Okay? So that's 20 people more than the average size church in America. 180 people. Just this group right here. They may think and look in the sight of the rest of the sanctuary how insignificant they are. But if just this group alone, the average size of one church in America, decided today that they were going to seek God to find out, as each of them claimed to be a believer, not saying they're not, I'm just saying they make that profession, that each of them would be determined to find out for the next step in their lives, Lord, what is my gift in the body of Christ? Do you realize this group right here, there's more than enough people right here to change this entire nation? You say, that's impossible. Of course it's impossible. That's why it could happen. You know why? Because who possesses them? The Holy Spirit. Who wants to work through them? The Holy Spirit. Do you notice that? It's the Spirit's work. It's the Spirit's unction. It's the Spirit's actions. And how does he accomplish such things? Through them. This group. Right here. Imagine if just this third service of our day, we all approach the Lord that way with a great sense of expectancy. God, fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me with your Spirit. Whatever you want to do, Lord, bring your power upon my life and speak to me, show me, begin to ignite my heart on what role do I have in the body of Christ in the church today. If you are a Christian, you have to be asking that question to God. If you're a Christian, you will not sleep very well ever again after this message. You will not quite sleep well again until you find out what it is, because every Christian has at least one gift given to them by the Holy Spirit in their life, at least one. You say, well, how do you know? Bible says so. If that's not true, then God's not God. That's how true it is. He, the Holy Spirit, sovereignly gives at least one gift to every believer, and that's powerful. This is a remarkable chapter because we're going to see the Trinity of God, even in the verses that we'll read here in a moment. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I love that. Isn't it interesting that the very chapter of the Bible that shows me that God has got a plan for my life and the power to do it also announces to me that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are standing with me to get it done. We lack nothing, church. There's no reason why we can't succeed as believers or as a church. And so that's comforting. What makes a church relevant? I'm going to give you one more introductory verse, and it's the best. Are you ready? Get ready to write this one down, or turn there. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. You want to talk about relevant? You want to talk about having a hip church and a cool graphics and an awesome website and a video blog and a blah, 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 and all this. Hey, that stuff's great, but listen, it better be based upon what I'm going to read here, or it ain't nothing but an event. It's nothing but a show. It's Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Look at verse 18, Luke 4. This is relevant. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, number one, to preach the gospel to the poor." That's the poor of heart. That's relevant. Number two, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's relevant. To bind up those that are crushed. Three, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Four, the recovery of sight to the blind. Five, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And six, found in verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you were to keep reading, the Bible says that Jesus then closed the scroll, rolled it up, handed it back to the attendant, and all those in the synagogue had their eyes fixed upon Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And from that moment on, in that synagogue, just north of the Galilee Sea, the ministry began, and it continues all these last 2,000 years to today, and it will continue until the Lord comes back in the great second coming. This ministry. But listen, how does he do it? He's not here. How has he been doing it? The Holy Spirit possessing Christians, using the Word of God, the power of God, and you recognizing your gift, he grabs you and he uses you. And there's nothing like it in the world. Nothing like it. Please don't take this wrong. I just saw in the news, maybe you did too, that there's been some gigantic bust, a drug bust, coming up from Mexico. Huge. Multi-bazillion, giggle million, 25 tons of cocaine or something. I don't know what it was. And think about why. Because they tell you the greatest demand in all of the world, the greatest demand for drugs in the entire world is America. We have the biggest appetite for drugs. You know how you dry up the drug industry? Get filled with Jesus. Amen. You say, "Oh, that's a cute little Christian thing to say, but stupid." But that's what we expect. No, I'm serious. What everyone's doing in drug addiction, trying to find fulfillment, meaning, happy, stay, have that rush, have that sense of fill in the blank. My God does that for me. Amen. My God does that for me. He does that in my life. And here's the cool part. It doesn't wear out. I don't need a needle. I hate needles. I don't need to drink anything. I don't need to swallow anything. And my friends, listen, to be relevant is exactly what this culture of ours needs coming from us. Big statement. Our God's big. Point number one, here we go this morning. What makes a church relevant? Point number one, it's this, is that believers understand there's a new life. You know today, Christian, that there's a new life, and we'll build off of this. But the believers understand that there's a new life. And so because that's true, we expect things out of this new life. First thing, listen to this. Understand this. It's a new life that's come from heaven. I love it. Look at verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Take your pen or your highlighter and highlight the word spiritual, and you can draw a very fine line through the word gifts. It doesn't appear in the original language. The word spirituals are the gifts. They are things, listen, deposited from heaven. They are brought down from heaven. The gifts given to a believer, don't get ahead of me or yourself. The gifts, we will enumerate them in weeks ahead. So say, what are they? There's 18 to 21 gifts at least, if you take Old and New Testament together. So don't worry about that. We'll go through them. But the gifts of the Spirit are given by God so that you might be a vital believer. And the first thing that we realize here is that they've come from heaven. See, what does that mean? It means this. They're not talents. You know a talent? Well, I can really play the piano. I must have the gift of piano playing. No, you do not. You are a very good piano player. I have the gift of singing. No, you don't. You are a talented singer. We have all been born, except me, with natural talents. Okay, you may have the body to be a tremendous rugby player or a football player or a tennis player. Those are attributes given to you, no doubt by God, but they're not gifts. You may have studied very, very hard to become a concert violinist. That is a talent that is developed and a discipline. A talent is far greater than what we're talking about. True story. A couple weeks ago, I had a man come up to me. He said, I'd like you to take my card. I'm a public speaker, and I think I could really, really speak well to your group. And I said, who are you? He told me who he was. I said, have you been here before? He goes, no, it's my first day today. And you want to speak to our group? Yeah. So here, give me a call. And I took his card and he walked away. First thought in my mind, of course. My first thought is the most accurate thought. That guy doesn't have a clue of what this is. If you have a talent to talk, you're probably a good salesperson. Or you may even be an attorney. Having the talent to speak doesn't necessarily mean that, well, I guess I'm supposed to be an evangelist. That's not how it works. The workings of the Spirit of God in your life with a gift, God will take, not a talent of yours, he will take you and deposit upon you a supernatural gift. Well, how do you know? Because it could never have come out of you. Forgive me again, but imagine this area and the Holy Spirit coming over you as it were like Tinkerbell. Remember she moves her little wand and the little dust flies and it lands? Imagine that where the Holy Spirit would say, I give you the gift of healing and you over there, the gift of prophecy. You over there, the gift of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Are you with me? He does that. You say, well, I want a certain gift. He does it. You don't choose. He gives. And listen, here's the great part. It's so great. He does it, and he knows you better than you know you, so that when he gives you that gift, you don't go, I don't want that one. He gives you the gift that, like a key, fits into the lock and turns. You go, yes. But there's a contradiction. You can't do it. You can't play the piano and do all of that thing like that. You've been trained. It's a God thing. And when you experience this, and it happens, it's only going to happen in ministry, my friend. You say, well, I want it to happen now to see if I got it. He won't do that. That's like giving a kid a chainsaw. What does a kid know about a chainsaw? That's a lot of power. And the kid goes, I want that. You know, a little five-year-old, I want the chainsaw. Give it to me. And throws himself down crying, rolling around. If that kid had the chainsaw, I'd kill him. It would kill him. God doesn't hand a person who's saying, I want to know what my gift is, or else I'm just going to sit here. God will say, then sit there. But if you get up and if you grow up, God will hand you the power. Why? Because it's ready. It's ready time, I should say, for you to use it. It's pretty amazing. So the thing is this, that when God uses the gift in your life, my friend, you will be the one most humbled and blown away by it. You'll be so amazed. This was the hand of God. Some of you have taken the call ministry. Everyone should take the call ministry, everyone. But some people in the call ministry find out that they never would talk to anybody before, but now they start talking to people about Jesus, and they find out that they have the gift of evangelism. and they share, and people, it's weird. You know, you guys all know Greg Laurie. Greg Laurie is obviously an extremely skilled communicator, but that has been developed over the years on his gift. His gift is an evangelist. Greg Laurie shows up and people get saved. How does that happen? He has the gift of an evangelist. It's not natural. It's the gift of God. And you, as a believer, have a gift. And it's exciting to find out what that might be. It comes from heaven. And listen, talent showcases you. Gifts showcase God. If you're in it for you, then go get yourself a late night show. But if you're in it for God, then find out what your ministry is. How about this? In verse 2, we learn that it's a new life knowing the truth. It's a new life knowing the truth. It says in verse 2, and you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. There's a beautiful bit of sarcasm here by the Apostle Paul. The word dumb idols doesn't mean stupid idols. It means dumb idols, idols who cannot hear. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have eyes, they cannot see. That's a dumb idol. When I think of a dumb idol, I immediately, for whatever reasons, I see totem poles. Think of a totem pole where an Eskimo will go to a totem pole and say, "We need a great whale harvest this season." Did you hear me? No, didn't hear you. Listen, and here's the thing about idols, dumb idols. They can't talk, they can't see, they can't do anything. Paganism, when he says, you were once Gentiles or pagans, that's what he's saying. Unbelievers. Have you noticed that how the gods of the pagans have to answer through human means? What I mean by that is, if you would take a big rock or a sacrificial altar or a rock and you're a pagan and you would take the pig and you'd throw it on the rock and you'd cut it open and the way the blood flows, if it flows more to the left than to the right, then we're not supposed to go to battle today. Who says that just spoke to you? It's self-answering. It's already programmed by the worshiper. It cannot speak. So what does someone do? This happens everywhere over the world, people. It goes like this. The rules are, if the blood flows to the west, then it means we go to war. If the blood flows to the east, then it means we stay home. You answer your request before it's even offered up. It is superstition. Somebody might say today, well, you know, if the Lord wants me to buy that new house, he'll have the sun come up. Gee, I wonder how that's going to go. And we laugh at that, but Christians can do that. If God wants me to marry that guy, then the phone will ring in the next 10 minutes. Just, are you kidding me? You're going to make your decisions like that? Yikes. That's superstition. It's dangerous. No, God wants to lead us. Listen to this. God wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. I'm going to give you a verse. It is a glorious verse. Get ready to write it down. If nobody writes it down, write it on them. If you see somebody missing this verse, just write it on their arm right next to you right there. Isaiah 41:13. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." Is that not an awesome verse? Do you not want that in your life? "For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." That's how God leads us as Christians. The Christian that is under the possession of the Holy Spirit is a Christian who has his life, her life will be ordered by the Lord. Point number two today, it's this. What makes a church relevant is that the believers recognize there's a new cause. There's a new cause for their life. Our new cause is to reject the false. And you need to write this down. It's very important. That's what Paul is teaching them. To reject the false, that which is not true. Look at verse 3. "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." This is fascinating. Here's the reason why. No one by the power of the Holy Spirit No one under the possession of the Holy Spirit in their lives can call Jesus accursed. And you would say, Jack, who would even say such a thing? Ah, but it's deeper than what it looks like on the surface. Listen carefully. No one who is controlled by the Holy Spirit, no one who has the Holy Spirit residing in them, can devalue, that's what that word means, devalue who Jesus truly is. You cannot degrade, taint, diminish from who Jesus is. Listen carefully. By the way, this is one of the very key signs of whether you're a believer or not, a true Christian, a heaven-bound Christian. The Holy Spirit will not allow you to associate with evil. If you try to, or if you ignorantly attempt to, he will convict you and instruct you. This is what he does. That's why when somebody cusses using Jesus' name, you feel dirty. The Holy Spirit inside of you cringes at that. But that's not even the word I'm talking about. Do you know what's worse than using his name in vain? Cussing like that? In a moment, we're going to see Jesus is Lord. No one who's possessed by the Holy Spirit can say, listen, this is what it means. No one by the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is a great prophet. Really, Pastor, are you sure about that? Because I had someone knock on my door and asked me if I want to come to their place to worship, and they said Jesus is a great prophet. They just exposed to you that the Holy Spirit does not reside in them. They do not belong to God. They're not property of God because they just degraded from Jesus' lordship. Then somebody comes up to your house and says, you can be a God just like Jesus is a God. They have just committed this sin. They have just exposed themselves as not being possessed by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus is Lord. Not Shirley MacLaine, not me, not you. There's only one. Are you with me?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 13 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The title of this study is, What Makes a Church Relevant? It's actually a mini-series that we'll be bringing your way on the next several broadcasts, and that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this series is available on a 5-DVD set. It's called The Relevant Church, Discovering How You Fit. Once again, The Relevant Church, Discovering How You Fit. Here at Real Radio, we get a lot of calls, a lot of emails from believers asking about what they can do to contribute to the work of the kingdom, at times implying that they kind of feel lost in that department. Well, if you're one of those folks, the Bible says there is a place in the body of Christ designed for you. If the church is going to be relevant in the 21st century, we have to know how and where we fit into that picture. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 addresses this perfectly. Discover your gifts. Learn how you fit, where you fit, and how you can make a difference. It really is critical to your spiritual growth. Learn how to function and connect to other people in the body of Christ. Get Pastor Jack's 5-DVD set called The Relevant Church, Discovering How You Fit. It's yours for a tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write. It's real easy. Visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll see right away where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Or if you prefer the more traditional way, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Mention it by name, The Relevant Church, Discovering How You Fit. Our phone number is easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all this contact info can be found easily at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.